From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up!
Wake up! Wake up!
WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, presented by
the vitamins.
Now here's WarChant.com's Aslan Hudjavandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake Up War Chant, presented by Vitamin Energy. Coming up on today's show, the latest edition of the War Chant Top 40. We're getting closer to difference makers, and we also speak about our past misses when it comes to the Top 40 and generating discussion sparked by Cummins, an incredible bet. Will we do it? Wake Up War Chant, presented by Vitamin Energy, vitaminenergy.com. There's a promo code, Corey Clark. What is it?
War Chant BOGO.
There you go. That might be the last one of the week. But we're probably going to do another show tomorrow that we're actually going to record today, just two-part mailbag, everybody, spreading out the love, if you will.
Or we're going to fly through this one. It's going to be a one-part mailbag. Either way, we love Vitamin Energy.
We'll see about that one, big dog. VitaminEnergy.com, promo code again, WarChantBogo. Buy one, get one free. We're big fans of the variety pack because everybody asks us, which one should I get, Aslan? And it's like, well, man, I don't know. It depends on what you're trying to get done, what you're trying to enhance. So why not do the variety pack? That way, you can sample them all. And when you buy one, you can get one free. So you can actually have two of them. So you can be like, was that a fluke? Was that placebo? No. No, it wasn't. It was 260 milligrams of all-natural caffeine and vitamins and nutrients, all enhancing your day, your focus, your immune system, your mood, even your workout. So head to VitaminEnergy.com. Use that promo code WarChantBogo. Also lets them know that you're listening to the show. And you get one free, obviously. So go do it. Shake it and take it. WarChant.com, the ultimate Seminole sports source. $1 one month. Pretty fair, right, Corey? $1 one month. Sign
That's
up.
That's an incredible deal.
Yeah. Sign up, everybody. Be a subscriber. Be our friends. You can berate us in the mailbag, and we'll read everything verbatim just because we love you. Maybe. Maybe not. Corey, how are you, by the way? You got a big weekend. What's going on? Do we know the schedule for Brady? Is he going to be facing the Hoover Heat? Are the New York Junior Metropolitans heading to town to take on the South's best? What's going down?
I think he is facing a team from Hoover, so they're going to have the home field advantage in that first game. What I'm most excited about, Aslan, is there's three games on the schedule so far, and then they go to bracket play or consolation play or whatever. But the three games are 8 a.m., afternoon game, 8 a.m., so pretty awesome. Okay. Means you got to get up at 6:15, 6:30, make sure you're at the field an hour before. So that's their probably sixth 8 a.m. game, 8 or 9 a.m. game already out of 10 that they played this year.
Are you staying at the Embassy Suites out there?
Yeah, buddy. Hey, I don't want to give away my spot.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, I'll be at the Embassy Suites in Hoover if anybody wants to stop by.
I stayed there one year for the SEC baseball tournament, and they put me in a room that was right along the elevator shaft, and it was miserable. So I just want to let you know, just make sure they don't put you close to the elevator.
Why does that make it miserable?
Because I could hear the elevator going up and down. So it was nice and quiet from 1 a.m. to like 5 a.m.
You sure?
And then as soon as everybody started waking up and checking out and leaving, that thing was just like, it sounded like a dumpster being lifted up and slammed onto the pavement, like right next to my head.
Let me ask you a question. If you would have had a box fan right at your face, do you think you would have heard the elevator?
You win, Corey.
That's all I'm saying.
You win.
Daddy's got his box fan, so I'm not worried about no stinking elevator.
Hey, let's not even force a football. Just get right to it. And it's been a while, so let's bust this out. Corey and Aslan.
Top 40.
Never going to get old, buddy. Hopefully it never gets old. I love the little chuckle out of you. Let's get to it, Corey. We have released the latest edition of the War Chant Top 40, picks 26 through 30. Let's go ahead and just unveil, I guess, what the composite was. Again, 26 to 30 over on warchant.com. You could have known about this yesterday if you were a member and only paid $1. Think about that. Number 30, Justin Crier. Justin Crier is a guy that I did have on my ballot. Number 29, Devontae Brown, transfer out of Miami. He's played a lot of football, was at UCF before that. Possible candidate to start at safety. Number 28, possible Lou Groza watch list member, Ryan Fitzgerald, your starting place kicker, everybody. Number 27, Tomiwa Durojaye, who came here from West Virginia, and I think via Pitt, right? Did he start at Pitt, go to West Virginia, now he's here, or maybe he was committed to Pitt, but enrolled at West Virginia. And then number 26, Conrad Hussey.
I think he started at Kentucky.
Yeah, it sounds
And then
sounds
went to
accurate.
West Virginia.
Yeah, no, you're right. That sounds a bit more accurate. Let me unclick that one. All right, so Corey, to maybe refresh your memory, for some reason it shows 26 blank on my ballot for you.
Yeah, I don't believe in that number.
I got you. I had Devontae Brown at 26. At number 27, you had Richie Leonard the fourth, who, I mean, golly, he could be, I think he's your starting guard right now. I had Kyle Morlock at 27th. 28th, I had Justin Cryer, so I was a little bit higher than the composite. Number 28, you have Keandre Jones, who could possibly be starting at guard, I guess, but I don't have him. I have him behind Leonard and probably Ferguson.
That's why I put him and Leonard right next to each other.
Right.
One of them's going to start, one of them isn't, but I'm not convinced of which one is the starter right now.
It's like the good old days when we'd put Alec Eberle right next to Bavion Johnson, right?
Right, old big baby.
Like one of them's going to start at center. Number 29, you had Grady Kelly. I had Quindarius Jones. My guy Q. You had Quindarius Jones 30th. I had Ryan Fitzgerald 30th. So,
all right, okay.
We got some guys in that sort of level, in that segment, I guess, if you will. 26 to 30. So, again, this is, you know, kind of outside the cusp of your starting 22.
Who do you think of the composite, which is the more important list than our individual ones?
Well, let me see. Other than
Fitzgerald, no, who's an automatic, who do you think of those other four are going to start?
Cryer, Brown, Durajaye, Hussey.
Or just play. Like, that's the thing with Hussey,
yeah,
and
I think
Brown.
Hussey. I think Cryer. I mean, 4-2-5, I think
Cryer will play.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, Hussey or Brown, one of them's probably going to play, but that means one of them isn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that's a little bit high to me. I'm at 31, so I guess I can't really throw that.
Yeah, I mean,
stone.
Your third or fourth defensive tackle?
Yeah. You got him at 24.
He could be good, and he's going to play. He's got size and he's got ability. I mean, he produced, even though he didn't play a ton of snaps at West Virginia, he produced. So you got to feel like you like his chances of making some plays for you. But he's going to play, if he's healthy, I don't know, man, 30 snaps a game? And he might be a bulldog, man. He might be awesome. We don't know. Probably not going to be awesome, but he might be better than we think. But he's definitely going to play, I think. I don't know that any of those guys are going to start, but I think at least three of them will play significant snaps.
I don't know, man, but Hussey or Brown, one of them is going to start. I feel like one of them is going to start.
I mean, there's Barker, too. I mean, Barker's there, too. Cooper's competing for it. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't
–
none of those guys have proven enough to be, like, absolutely – like, Conrad Hussey, to me, didn't prove enough to say he's absolutely going to start over Barker. I would give him an edge, but just an edge, it doesn't mean he's – he's an absolute.
I guess that's fair. I can't push back too hard against that. I just do think, like, Lundy's one of your starting linebackers, and then I don't know, maybe Cryer, maybe Nicholson. I'm not very high on Sean Murphy. I just don't know how his body is going to hold up after spring. He just never seemed well. But yeah, I mean, Cryer could possibly start, but if I had to pick out of that group of five, other than Fitzgerald, obviously, so that group of four, I probably would lean Hussey. Was the most likely to start. Then I would probably. And then I would put Cryer behind him, then Brown. Like, Brown and Cryer are very close to each other. Then I think Durajaye is just, he's at like a little bit of a different
but
level.
But I think when we're talking about 26 to 30, and I think I asked who would start, the better question would have been who contributes. And I think four of the five there for sure are contributors. We don't know who the safety is out of that bunch that's going to contribute. But I definitely think both of us think that Cryer will play.
Oh, yes, yes.
And we think Durajaye will play. And one of those safeties is going to play. So
going to start. I think one of them is going to start.
Probably.
I think Hussey or Brown, one of them is starting.
So that, man, that's, again, we're in the spot now on the list where moving forward, probably everybody is a starter or competing for a starting position. But we're in the contributing list now. This isn't like they might contribute. They might work in the rotation, like Jaylen Brown, the wide receiver. No, these guys are going to be in the rotation. It's just a matter of how much they contribute and how much they impact the season.
Yeah, they're
going to
be relied upon in a moment
of
an important game, most likely. All I do want to maybe also add caveat. I think I had Duke Cooper kind of high on my list, so maybe I would have Duke in the mix to start there between Ashlyn Barker to me is kind of like outside looking in for starter designation. But again, they play a bunch of people, they rotate a lot, So what does it all really matter in the grand scheme of things? You made it onto the War Chant Top 40, so congrats, everybody.
Yeah. Next when do up, we send them? Do we mail them something? Do they get a T-shirt, the players?
We should, like, give them a certificate. You know, it's like one of those cool, like, Ponderosa, you know, certificates for perfect attendance that you would, like, stock
right.
up at your house back in the day.
Something for the fridge.
Yes. Yes, yeah. For sure. Picks 21 through 25 on deck. Get over to warchant.com, 32 cents in. Tell us if we're bad, good, indifferent. Pretty excited about these next ones that are coming up here. All right, let's get to the mailbag, everybody. Let's see if we actually do get through all of it in one fell swoop, as our guy Corey Clark certainly hopes to get to. Philip Morris, would anyone from the range, by the way, he's one of our monthly winners from last month, I think, maybe. We're going to do our Cummins drawing here soon, so stay tuned. Giving away a swag bag, free gear from Cummins. They're awesome. Cummins Lifestyle. Follow them on Instagram. Corey, anyone from ranges 31 to 40 from this year's War Chant Top 40 that would have made the top 10 in Coach Mike Norvell's first year? Which I have that list in front of me in case you guys were wondering. The top 10 that year, Kalen Laburn, DJ Matthews, Corey Durden, I'm guessing Darius Washington. Darius Washington was seventh. D. Washington. Was there another D. Washington I don't know of right now that's escaping my mind?
No.
Six was Jay Sean Corbin. Five was Dante Lucas. Four, Hamza Nasruldeen. Three, Asante Samuel. Two, Tamorian Terry. One, Marvin Wilson.
I would say maybe, who was five? Who was four or five? Say the five.
Hamza was four. Dante was five. Dante Lucas. The
yeah,
Pope.
You could make, obviously in hindsight, you would take him out. Other than that, I mean, that's not a terrible top 10.
It really isn't. When I first saw this question, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be brutal. But I'm like, you know, they had not enough guys who have, like, you know, gone 8-2 or something like that. But.
Well, and their two best players probably, at least on the defensive line, were Marvin and Durden, right. And they weren't healthy.
Right.
So, yeah, and they had no offensive line to speak of. Their line of scrimmage was just terrible. Right. So I would still say no. I don't think anybody 31 to 40 on our list would have been the top 10 on that team.
And I'll look at it real quick here. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe, yeah, Master Romano's not going to be top 10 because he's a punter. Yeah, you'll have to agree with us on this one, everybody. You want me to just rattle everybody off? Master Romano, Jaylen Brown, Keandre Jones, Blake Nicholson, Duke Cooper, Quindarius, Kaziah, Daniel Lyons, Grady Kelly, Landon Thomas.
Yeah, what if Jaylen Brown ends up going 45 for 900 or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, then, yeah. But we don't – as it stands right now, having watched spring and as we go into the August of 2024, I don't think any of those 10 would have been absolute top 10 on the 2020 team. Right. The problem with the 2020 team, other than the injuries to the guys I mentioned, was, you know, 15 to 70. Numbers 15 to 80 were really, really bad. Or just not, they weren't old enough yet, or they weren't Florida State caliber. But the top 10 to 12, you know, were decent football players, decent to good football players, like Asante Samuels on that team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I know we should maybe use hindsight in this exercise, but I'm trying not to. I'm just trying to say, like, how I felt about those guys going to the season versus how I feel about these guys going into this season. So I get it. Everything didn't work out with Marvin, but man, you know, when he was healthy at times, he did look good in 19. So it made you feel good about 2020, but obviously he just never could be healthy. I mean, he was just constantly having knee problems. So that was a bit of a bummer for him. Moving along, staying in the top 40 realm, we got our guy, Noel Blooded 19, wake up Corey Aslan, big fan of the War Chant top 40 tradition. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
A tradition unlike any other.
Some would say. In all the years you've both been with War Chant, that's been since 2018, everybody, 6 years. Six years, man. Crazy. What player do you most regret leaving off your personal summertime War Chant top 40 ballot? Who went on to be awesome later that fall? Oh, boy, let me tell you, as I'll give you maybe some time to think on that one, Corey. As I'm looking at the top 40 from 2020, I did not put Jordan Travis on my ballot. Gene had him the highest at 20th. Everybody else had him like ranked in the 30s. I did put Chubba Purdy at number 3 on my ballot.
Oh,
I did that one. Yeah, did not work out well.
Well, jury's still out on that.
Well, let's see. Utah State, I think now.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let
show
me down,
him what's
Chubba.
Up, Chubba. Don't show him what's up. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's somebody that I just left off that ended up being really good. It's more about like ranked them too low. But nothing's coming to mind right now, but I'll be honest with you. I do these and kind of forget where I put guys. So I'm sure I had Jordan too low in 20 and 21. But
you had him seventh. You had him seventh and 21.
Oh, well, then never mind. That's pretty solid. He should have been number one, but still, we didn't know if he was going to win the job. And
you
he
know
did.
Who's number one, by the way, in 2021 on the composite?
Tell me.
Mackenzie Milton.
Well, he was impactful. He did impact
games. Got him the overtime.
Well, I just mean he impacted games. Like
Wake Forest game, yeah.
Yeah, Jacksonville State game, too. Yeah, but right now, let me think about it. No production meeting, so I haven't thought about somebody that – I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that just flew in completely off the radar. It was way better than I thought right away. I can't think of that right now. Maybe Benson. I don't know where I had Benson, but I feel like I had Benson pretty high going into 22. I know I didn't have Johnny as high as I should have put him going into 22. I think I had him in the 20s. I should have had him in the top five. I should have stayed strong in my convictions, and I didn't.
I'm pretty sure I can't, for some reason, pull up 2022 immediately off my hard drive here, but I know I did not have Trey Benson high at all. Same thing with Johnny Wilson. I was very cynical about, hey, nobody else went after these guys. Why are they all of a sudden going to be awesome over here? We went 5-7 the year before. It's not like we have some sort of magic wand over here to make everybody awesome. Wrong.
I bet Renardo is another one in 2022 that I had way too low.
I had Travis Jay 18th in 2021. You had him 6th.
Well, we all did that.
He was 11th. He was 11th. Yeah. Andrew Parchment was number 5.
Hey, man, he was impactful, wasn't he? Ask Alabama. 2022 Aslan, we actually had Johnny Wilson number 27 overall, which was way too low going into 2022. I had him at 21, which was still too low. You had him at 36.
I did. My goodness. All right. Moving along. Let's go to Jernol, Corey. Jernol 1518. It's the Thursday evening before the first Super Regional game. UConn's athletic director approaches Michael Alford with an offer. If FSU wins a Super Regional series, as the betting odds strongly suggest they will, FSU gets Dan Hurley, 4-year contract, next men's head basketball coach as soon as Leonard Hamilton decides to retire. But if FSU gets upset in the Super Regional, UConn's going to get Mike Norvell as its next head football coach, effective immediately. If you're Michael Alford, do you take this high-stakes wager? Incredible, Corey. You know what this means. I got this sort of energy. Let's fire up the cameras, and more importantly, fire up the generator. That's right. We're generating discussion. We are sparked by Cummins. As you know, we pick out the best question every single week, and then we're going to do a drawing every single month to give away free swag. So that time is also now, Corey. So let's pull that up as well, and we'll spin the wheel here. Our winners from the previous month include our great friends Marlon Joker, Island Chief, Dalvinism, and Armchair Osceola. And without further ado, let's spin the wheel. And the winner for the May drawing is Marlon Joker.
All right. I didn't know that was happening. How exciting was that, everyone?
Look at that. So Marlon Joker wins the swag bag for the month of May. Everybody, though, who was on the screen there gets entered into the grand prize drawing at the end of the year for the generator. So that's awesome. We all want our hands on a portable power station or a portable generator, courtesy of our great friends over at Cummins. Follow them. Cummins Lifestyle, all one word, over on the Instagram. All the kids are doing it. So, Corey, I love this. I don't know how much discussion is going to generate, but just the absolute, creativity of this makes me want to go ahead and spotlight it. So what would you do, Corey? Would you risk losing Mr. Mike Norvell for the opportunity to get Dan Hurley?
No.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
It's a fair-ish question, but absolutely not. You would not risk. If you think Norvell is the guy that he's clearly proving himself to be, college basketball doesn't matter enough, man. Just doesn't matter enough. Like, UConn's finances, they've won How many basketball championships does UConn have? Five, six? What's that done for the are they in the SEC? Are they in the Big Ten? Are they making all that TV money? Not really. It's a great basketball program, but Florida State aims to be better at a more important sport from a financial standpoint. So no, you would not trade Norvell for Dan Hurley, even though Dan Hurley is clearly a fantastic, fantastic college basketball coach.
They've won six, by the way. Sorry to our friends in stores. They've won six national titles. And yeah, I get it. Is there any sport that you would feel better about? It's just the randomness of baseball, postseason baseball. Like, you really never know. So that's why you can't risk Mike Norvell, because I get it. Like, Florida State, 1-9, better than UConn. I think the pitching staff, just because of Jamie Arnold, by virtue of that, probably takes you over. But they did a really good job of shutting everybody down out there in Norman. So, yeah, you can't risk it. But I just wonder if there was any situation where you could see, like, Florida State in a postseason situation where you're, like, that confident to take a top-flight coach to risk yours.
No, because, man, yeah, it's college baseball. LSU lost to Slippery Rock at home 10, 12 years ago, whenever that was. Coastal Carolina won a national championship. So did Fresno State, as a four seed in a regional. They won a national championship. So it's just that sport is too chaotic and unpredictable to risk losing Mike Norvell for 54 outs, 18 innings. That would be that's too much. It's too much to ask. But yeah, I do hope they win. I hope Florida State wins. Even if Dan Hurley doesn't come with the package, it would be really cool if they beat UConn and went to Omaha. But, you know, what are you going to do?
It'd be really cool if you guys headed over to Cummins Lifestyle over on Instagram and gave them a follow. They're hooking everybody up here on the program with an opportunity to win a generator and win some free swag bag when you're a member of warchant.com. And they got the Own and Unplug tour going on. And again, I think this might coincide with Florida State ending up playing a football game out in the Midwest later this season. Not 100% sure. Not 100% sure, but just throwing it out there, Corey. Just throwing it out there. So, yeah, hit the thumbs up. Check them out. Cummins Lifestyle over on Instagram.
How about if Dan Hurley just comes because he wants to coach at Florida State? How about that? How about you keep Mike Norvell and then you get Dan Hurley to replace Leonard Hamilton?
Just out of the goodness of his heart.
What's wrong with that, Aslan? He's already won two up there. What else has he got to prove? He's never going to be Jim Calhoun. He's never going to be thought of like that. He didn't build that program. He just kind of resurrected it. So Kevin Ollie won a national championship at UConn. Big deal. Come win one in Tallahassee, man. That's where you'd earn your stripes.
All right, what do we got here? Let's do some housekeeping on yesterday's show. Mimi Knoll. Actually, no. Stand by, Mimi. We're going to go to Scotty FSU. Aslan, heard you on Wednesday's Wake Up mention how you wouldn't buy quarterback Tommy Smith's t-shirt in relation to high school NIL. I happen to be the school counselor at Tommy Smith Elementary in Panama City. I'll have you know, the great Tommy Smith once had four touchdowns in a game. Gary Danielson once said he's the quarterback you most want your daughter to marry. Put some respect on his name. I'll bring you a Tommy Smith baseball tee if you make it to another War Chant / booster event in Panama City Beach. No need to buy a shirt. Hashtag go Panthers. Hashtag go Knowles.
Okay. All right.
Is that sincerity, or is that like Al Bundy, four touchdowns in a game, Tim Tebow, quarterback?
I thought that's where he was going, but I don't know. There could be a Tommy Smith Elementary, buddy.
Dude, Scotty and Todd, they're brothers out there in Panama City. Their humor sometimes is too witty, too sharp for my dull light bulb of a brain. But I will take you up on that. I always like free swag, which, by the way, our guys from New York, our firefighter buddies that gave the shirts to Tom that one time, Corey, do you now have those in your possession, or am I never going to get that awesome Brooklyn firefighter?
No, because
shirt?
Tom only had like extra larges, so I told him to keep them for me anyway. He said he only had extra larges. I did ask the last time he was in Tallahassee, and he said he still has them, but they're extra larges.
I gotcha. All right, Mimi Knoll, you're up now. Wake up. What do you think of the approval of high school NIL in Florida? On the news, they said a female lacrosse player would have gotten $5,000. The coach said that's more than he made for coaching. Thoughts?
Yeah, they don't pay coaches well in the state of Florida, so that's true. That part is true for the lacrosse coach, I'm sure. Who's paying $5,000 for a lacrosse player?
Their father, their mother, you know, like advertising
company.
But the
point is, if they're going to transfer schools, why would a school, where does the money come from, number one? What we don't like is the NIL for the inducement of moving to another school.
Right.
That's the only thing I care about. If you're going to stay at your local high school for 4 years, make as much money as you want. Who cares? My problem, my issue is that it's going to lead to kids going across the county or across town or across the state for $20,000 or $30,000 or $5,000 or whatever it is. And so that would be my biggest issue. And who would do that for a lacrosse player? Who cares? And I'm not saying that as a attack on lacrosse. It's a fine sport. It's a growing sport. People do love it. I'm saying if it's not making any money for you, I guess the coach at the school wants to win a state championship, so he goes and gets two of the best players in the county, and what, to entice them to come over to the school, cuts them a check for $5,000 or $10,000 each. But who's giving them the money? I don't know. I guess it's just for private schools, but private schools have been recruiting forever anyway. So the whole thing is bizarre to me.
Yeah, well, I get what you're saying about inducement.
What is the market? What is the market for a lacrosse player in high school?
Well, what we don't know is, again, is this true NIL? Is this some sort of local company that is paying this female lacrosse player to advertise their workout facility, hoping that, you know, maybe she's a big name in the area? And she's like, I've developed my skills every off season at, you know, Bobby's workout shack. And they're like, we'll give her $5,000 to keep promoting us, because that way that'll help us get memberships and we'll make money. We're cool with that. I'm cool with that. If she's at, you know, Central County High and Methodist Academy, and I shouldn't point out a religion, I'm sorry, just if some sort of a private school is like, hey, we'll give you $5,000 to come here, I don't like that. Sorry, I don't. I don't, and that might be some sort of hypocrisy on my part. Just don't. Like, your name, your image, and your likeness, I get it. You should be able to capitalize on that. Being paid to leave, you're a mercenary. I don't like that, but I get it. It's legal. And I still haven't really lost that much sleep over it, even though I sound grumpy about it all the time on the show.
It just doesn't make sense from a financial point of view for a sport like that. Our, most high school sports in general, not just lacrosse, like tennis, golf, like, you're not making any extra money by being a tick better at that sport. You're not bringing any more eyeballs. You're not bringing any more people to the stands or to the games.
As an inducement to bring you to another school you're talking about.
Yeah. What is it? What is in it for the school to pay NIL to these kids? Yeah, okay, your coach, instead of getting bounced in the first round, made it an extra round in the playoffs. Awesome. It's still high school soccer or high school lacrosse. There's still nobody watching. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not diminishing these sports. I'm just saying, I could have said the same thing about football. There aren't a lot of people that go to these high school football games, so I just don't understand where the money is going to come from. What is the incentive for the schools to load up on these players, and where does the money come from to get those players? We know why it works in college. We know why Ohio State paid whatever in the world they paid to get Caleb Downs. It makes them better, a lot better. Yeah. You know, and winning football games makes millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in college football. It makes peanuts in high school football.
Yeah. We had a guy from Polk County want to stand up and shout out the fact that he cares a lot about his high school football. And that their coaches get paid a lot of money. The boosters take care of their folk down there.
Oh, okay, good. Good, good, okay.
And that's
good.
Like one, I mean, and I should have, there's pockets in the state of Florida, but I can tell you, like, Metropolitan Tampa, not really. I don't think Jacksonville is much of a, you know, again, there might be a rivalry game, like Mandarin playing, I don't know, Reigns or something like that. I know Dade and Broward have like a fun rivalry, but I don't know how much, how many people are going out to watch Miami Killian take on Cypress Bay or whatever. So there could be that crazy dude that runs a car dealership in Lakeland, and he hates Kathleen, and his kids go to Lakeland High, and he'll pay $20,000 to pull a kid away from Kathleen to go to Lakeland High so he can have those bragging rights over the guy that, like, you know, is now dating his ex-wife or something. So I guess we shouldn't mark that completely out the realm of possibility of people wanting to win, and it's important to them. I mean, you've covered football in South Georgia. You're telling me somebody wouldn't want to pull a kid away from Valdosta to play at Colquitt County for like $15,000? That wouldn't. Somebody out there in Colquitt wouldn't be like, all right, I'll throw $10,000 towards that to pull that kid away from Valdosta so we don't have them win a state championship and we can win one.
Yeah, but it's in football, unless it's the quarterback or like a sensational running back, I just don't know that that's gonna. What is the war for a really good defensive tackle?
Right. But those guys are out there. I mean, there are good quarterbacks. There are dozens of good running backs that probably are worth pulling away from a rival and helping your team out.
Just at the end of the day, yes. And if I was a desperate, especially at one of, but look, man, Lowndes, Colquitt, Valdosta, some of the schools, Madison County, schools like that in Florida, the expectations and the pressure there are probably a bit different than almost all high school coaching jobs. There's just a lot of pressure that comes with that. So I could foresee if I just went 8-3 at Valdosta to be like, hey, Booster Club, we need those two defensive ends from Lowndes, or we need those two defensive ends from Colquitt County. What's the price to get them, though? Because you got to pay for them to move. You got to pay for them to leave their school. So what is that to set them up for a year in an apartment or a house or however you have to do it legally? I guess to legally transfer. It just seems, I just think it's something that more private schools are going to do, because private schools, you don't have to live within the county lines or the city lines. You can just go. So they'll pay for your, private schools will pay for your admission. And then you get a quote unquote private school education for free. And, there's nothing really the state can do about it. And yay, you won another lacrosse title, Wesleyan. Good job.
Shout out to our Methodist listeners, by the way. Nothing but love. Nothing but love.
Noel for life. I looked, Aslan. I don't think Renardo Green was ranked in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Oh, Amarian Cooper, to jog people's memory, was really fourth. High. He was number four.
Oof.
So, he was good
in 2021.
No, he did.
I'm just saying, but we missed.
Not only did he play well in 2021, he was awesome in the spring the next year, and really good in August until he got hurt.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't see Renardo Green on here. Yeah. Huh? So that's my biggest regret. That's the one there I miss the most.
All comes back. Noel for Life, class of 2007. Wake up, fellas. I know our beloved Noles are out of the Women's College World Series, but I've continued to, quote, hate watch in hopes that someone would beat Oklahoma, since they have ousted us not once but thrice in the last 4 years. Annoying, not a strong enough word to describe them, and their nauseating fan base prompted me to think which team and fan base annoys you both the most in the following sports. Football, Gators. Men's basketball, Gators. Baseball, Gators. Softball, I don't know, Corey. I don't know. Once you have those, if you broke it down bracket style like the College World Series, which team and fan base would reign supreme as the most annoying team and fan base for you as an FSU fan? Noel for Life says football, Alabama, actually the most annoying fan base for him. Basketball, Miami. Baseball, Florida. Softball, Oklahoma. Bama and Oklahoma face off in the championship. Oklahoma wins as the most annoying fan base for me. I guess he means Oklahoma softball.
Yes.
So, that was a tough watch on Tuesday. I did not want Florida to win at all, so it wasn't that tough. It was like I don't want to say I was rooting for Oklahoma. I was rooting for Florida to lose, but then once Oklahoma won, it felt gross. So if I had to pick a softball, I think Oklahoma's fan base for sure. Just I don't like Florida because of everything else involved in their entire DNA. But in terms of like the worst fan base for softball, it has to be Oklahoma. Football, if it's not Florida, it's probably Ohio State for me. Hoops, I don't know, Duke?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. And baseball, maybe Vandy because of that freaking whistler?
Oh, yeah, good point. Good call.
And I don't know, like, I just...
If somebody would just kneecap him so he could never come... I guess you wouldn't. He could still whistle even if he didn't have knees. Yeah. What would you, throat punch him? You'd have to do something where he couldn't. What, take out his tongue? Can you whistle without a tongue?
It's all about the lips, I think, man.
I feel like you got to get some moisture in there from the tongue, though, to make it – to whistle like he whistles, I feel like he's incorporating his tongue. So if you just cut that out – although tongues regenerate themselves.
Whoa.
Wouldn't it be cool if our whole body did that instead of just skin and tongues and nails?
This is why we're not going to get through the mailbag in one episode.
Sorry, my fault. I can't answer that question. It's too hard. Oklahoma softball is very annoying. So is Duke basketball fans. I will say this really quickly. I've never been more annoyed at a fan base in a small, small window than Northern Illinois football in 2012. I just walking around the stadium, all the stuff that was going on that they would talk about how the Orange Bowl didn't want them, the way their coach lied about what their quarterback said about they'll be on their knees, like they just handled it horribly, awfully, and they didn't belong there. I'm not saying those kind of schools can't get into the big game. They didn't deserve it. They got waxed, and they were an embarrassment. Their fans were an embarrassment, and I'm glad they've never been back.
Well said, Corey. Well said. Say something nice about the awesome folks over at Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Corey. You can go over there for your lunch special from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for only $8.99. On Thursday, what you want? You want a cheesesteak sandwich, chicken or steak, Aslan? Both? You can have either. Pick it, as well as your side dish of your choosing. Again, only $8.99 from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. today at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, 2475 Appalachian Parkway, Corey.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great place to watch Super Regionals, even at 11 in the morning. It'll be open. It's just opening right at first pitch, like many restaurants around the country. But you'll be if you're in town, you'll be at Hauser anyway. You don't need to be at Corner Pocket till afterwards. And you can go celebrate afterwards. Bill's a very good man. He's the owner. He's a Florida State grad, proud Florida State grad. I think 88, 89? Florida State. I know his last game was the Dion game against Auburn in the Sugar Bowl. So, yeah, I guess he's an 88 grad. But, yeah, it's owned by a Knoll. A lot of Florida State and Seminole fans in there. But just, you know, cold beer and hot people to look at.
Ooh, all right. Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, everybody. Go check it out. Island Chief, wake up. First morning with the vitamin energy promo and the lead-in was jarring. My first thought was, is Bill okay with this? But with a couple of shakes, I was able to respond and focus. Yeah, Bill's okay with this. He's still here, everybody.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bill's, Bill Walton. His recent passing gave me a chance to reflect on his philosophy and the teachings of John Wooden, from which much of that philosophy was derived. Wooden's definition of success, that it is the peace of mind that comes from the self-satisfaction and knowing you did your best to be your best, leads me to my question. Finally, shout out to Bourbon as your friend, he says parenthetically. The 997 APR, for me, shows that the culture is there for success and is a concurrent indicator. We watched it fall under Jimbo, rise under Mike. I think it rose a little bit under Willie. I mean, it was only a year and a half, but it sounded like things were on better track, at least in that regard. But nonetheless, we won't take away from Mike Norvell's due credit on this. The on-field performance seemed to match up. As far as athletic talent, which or what team of Norvell's most closely approximates the talent of the 2017 team? Is this dispositive?
I mean, hey, we got to keep the show going, Aslan.
I feel like if I read it out to myself quietly, I would exactly know what it is, but reading it out loud just won't work. But anyhow, what team most closely approximates the talent of the 2017 team on the question of culture versus talent?
So you're talking about the previous four?
Yeah.
He's only been here four years.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how to, it doesn't. Like, he didn't have, like, 2017 was a talented team that just didn't care. It didn't have any leadership on or off the field. I don't know that that's ever been the case here under Norvell. And he's asking, what talent-wise, what's the most similar?
Dispositive. Yeah, I think, man.
Next question.
Hey, you can read these questions, too. They're on a screen. Why do I got to do it all the time?
I don't know. I've never heard the word dispositive. Dispositive. Is that the opposite of positive?
It's an adjective describing something that resolves a legal issue, claim, or controversy.
Oh, man, hey, you are talking to two dummies. We appreciate the question. So now read it. I still didn't hear what you said. So it's a real word, though. That's good.
Yeah. I don't think he would. Yeah, Island Chief's a good guy. He would not give us
No, I know. Good questions. I don't know what this question is, though.
I don't know. Just in terms of, I don't think the culture, I mean, maybe 2020, the culture was as bad as it was in 2017. But the talent on the 17 team, I think, was better than the 2020 team. So I don't think there's
any... The culture was awful. The culture was worse in 2020 than it was in 2017. The culture did not get better in Willie's years. It got worse, which I didn't know was possible, but it did. And so he had a lot of work to do.
You really think it was worse in 2020 than 17?
Yeah, because it's culture. It's not...
I mean, 17, they knew the guy quit on them. I mean, you know, Jimbo kind of quit on the team. He came back from the Florida game and gave us all he had, but that was about it.
But also, most of those guys on the 2017 team had played in an Orange Bowl, had been top 50 recruits in the country, or top 100 recruits in the country. So it made sense in a way that they were entitled, and they felt entitled. Now, that came down from the head coach, who let them be as entitled as they absolutely wanted to. Let them just cut them off from the rest of campus, didn't want them to associate with the rest of campus, you had people park their cars for them. It was just the absolute apex of entitlement. But at least those were good football players that had won some stuff going into 2017 and were ranked number 3 in the country going into 2017. So, of course, they felt good about themselves and they felt entitled. The 2020 team, to me, had that same sense of entitlement with absolutely none of the success. And that's what bothered me about that locker room that Norvell took over. They still felt they were awesome. They still felt they were Florida State, and they were not in any way, shape, or form. A lot of those guys, you know, it's a handful of guys that were not on the team later on that season and certainly into 2021 where it was addition by subtraction.
Stand by real quick.
Dispositive.
Could you hear that?
I did, yeah.
Can you say it out loud? Because I couldn't hear it on my end.
Yeah, dispositive.
All right.
Yeah.
Glad we got that figured out. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, dispositive.
Primetime 92. Hey, guys, been a while. Wanted to ask, what are the words?
Dis ain't negative. Dispositive. Sorry.
Been a while. Wanted to ask, what are the War Chant staff members' plans for getting to Ireland? Is everyone flying over on the same plane? My concern is if the plane goes down over the Atlantic into the cold, dark waters.
Yeah.
Will War Chant cease to exist? If it's just Corey's plan that goes down, at least Ira could fill in for him on Wake Up. Just a thought.
Right. That's fair. You're thinking of the important things. You're asking the important questions. No, I think none of us are on the same flights, are we?
If it happens that way, it's total happenstance, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I'm flying out on Thursday, well, late Wednesday night, so I'll get into Ireland on Thursday. I think Ira will already be there on Monday.
Yeah,
I don't know when you get out there. I think Jeff and Tom are getting out there earlier, too. I'll be the last one to arrive, and then I'll also be the last one to leave.
I still have not booked my flight because I'm holding out on the absolute moonshot of a hope that some flight from Tallahassee to Dublin becomes available at a reasonable price. Because I just this last few weeks ago, going from Tallahassee to Nashville, where I had, I had to go from here to Atlanta, Nashville, and then back. I didn't like it, man. Like, I did not like it. I'm like, I did not feel good coming back home. And I'm like, man, after being in Ireland for a week and then having to fly back to Orlando and then drive 3.5 hours back to Tallahassee, that is going to suck.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just fly back to Tallahassee. But then it's like, I'm going to have 2 stops. I'll go from Dublin to England to Atlanta, and then, like, you know, London to Atlanta to Tallahassee. So that won't be a great time either. But it looks at me complaining about getting to go to Ireland to cover a football game. Yeah, right. We're all going to be on different flights. I'm leaving the 19th. I know my hotel is like the 20th to the 26th. So I'll be flying out the 19th, which is my birthday, and arriving on the 20th, which I think is a Monday. So, yeah, I'll be out there with Ira boots on the ground doing the thing, Corey. So
good.
Question, though. Also, do either of you think you could make it through an entire August football practice in full pads, 4 p.m.? Let's say you're with the defensive backs.
Like, make it through as in, like, not pass out and die?
Yeah. I mean, I can do that. If we set the bar, yeah, I can do that. Yeah. Because what else would they expect from us? Like, plays? Like, could we have two
PDs? I was going to say, like, if I'm doing all the running that they're doing and not the physical, like, as long as I'm not in the Oklahoma drill, are they expecting me to, like, guard Hakeem Williams? I mean, I'll run with him. I mean, he'll run past me, obviously, but I'll try to run with him. And I'll get the same amount of reps that Fentrell Cypress gets. If I did that during the course of a practice at 4 o'clock, man, I think I would. I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I think I'm in good enough shape to do that. But it would be a shock to the body. And I would probably pull something. But I think I'm in good enough shape to do it, as long as I'm not having to make any contact with anyone.
I'm trying to think. You know, one-on-ones, you're going like
it's like three reps, though. Yeah. You get like 3 to 4 reps over the course of 20 minutes. Yeah. So I could definitely do that. It's those position drills that would get taxing real quick. I think the better question, I think, honestly, is the it's me just criticizing questions today, the tour of duty.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I think we would Good that night. Would kill us. Yeah. That would kill us. I think because there's 15 other DBs, you're not going nonstop for 2 hours in that heat.
Yeah.
So I think we would both survive. At least I would barely survive, I think. But then, I would not the tour of duty.
And then like in 11-on-11, the play might not even be on your side of the field. So, I mean, like you're pursuing the ball, but it's not like you're banging and colliding with anybody. Now, if I had to play like defensive line, like, yeah, I don't know, that one rep. I mean, like one rep of me running into Jeremiah Byers, and I'm probably tapping out. But yeah, as a DB, I can make it. It wouldn't look great. It wouldn't be like a good advertisement for the Hudjavandi brand, but I could make it. I could do it.
I've never gone through a full football practice. So me just wearing pads in a helmet, I mean, I would be taking my helmet off a lot. Let's be honest. I would have to because I would sweat would just be pouring down my face. Oh, I'd wear it. No, I wouldn't. I'd be wearing a do-rag.
Awesome.
So that's what they still call them, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Wine and cheese, over under. How many more times Link Jarrett is going to aptly mention that, quote, Florida State fans are the best in the country, with the important distinction of how knowledgeable we are? Since most folks don't live under rocks, how much of that rhetoric from Coach Link is directly aimed at ESPN and or Kirk Herbstreit?
Oh, I don't think he thinks like that. Fair question. I don't think he thinks like that. I think he's specifically talking about the baseball fans, and they are knowledgeable. They do. They'll cheer when a good bunt, second, first and second, nobody out, even a fly ball to right that gets the runner to third. That's the kind of stuff they seem to understand and really appreciate.
I think you might have mentioned it on the show, but you mentioned it to me as we're sitting there watching the games. But can we make a – I don't want to say suggestion because that means like your guys are not doing something good and the animals are out there giving it all they got in 4 p.m. heat, noon heat, 11 a.m. heat.
Yeah.
Can we just start? Can we float out K-time on an 0-2 count, or is it still best to wait
No,
until
– No, I'm with you, man. So all through Mike Martin's tenure mostly, and Jamie Shoup was the pitching coach for a lot of that, they knew rightly that 0-2 pitches were typically waste pitches. That is not the case anymore.
Waste pitches as in they're just throwing something.
They're throwing it. They're trying to throw something high around the neck and see if the guy will chase. If they don't, then the 1-2 pitch is the action pitch. That's the pitch they're really trying to get out. They want to waste one to see if he'll swing at some crazy slop. And if he doesn't, then they'll try to get him out with a pitch over the plate. That's not how it works anymore. They go right after these guys. 0-2 pitches or 2-2 pitches. So, yes, I would like them to adapt a little bit to that. I'll be honest with you.
All right. Well said.
And that's just a suggestion. Do what you want. That's why I tweeted about it. Jamie Arnold had an immaculate inning on Saturday night. One of the best postseason – it's the best postseason inning any Florida State pitcher's ever pitched. 9 straight strikes for 3 straight strikeouts. Didn't get a single K time. And the only reason it bothers me a little bit is because – the entire crowd takes their cue from the animals.
Mm-hmm.
The entire crowd is sitting there wanting to chant K time, but the animals haven't started it because they don't on 0-2, that they're kind of sitting there on their hands as Jamie Arnold strikes out the side on 9 pitches, not once doing the loud K times that can really rattle the hitter. So I wish they would adjust that a little bit.
And no one can go rogue, right? Like some random guy who drove up from, Venice – can't just yell out, Kurt. They would absolutely be like, whoa, hey, buddy. There's protocol.
Yes, correct. Yeah, they'd get territorial about that, I think. Yeah.
All right, last one, but certainly not least.
Dave, we've flown through 20 questions?
No, it's like we're over 50 minutes, and we've got 12 more to go. So I figure we'll just save another show for everybody tomorrow. Right. Unfortunately, we're going to record it before we speak to Link Jarrett, as well as his counterpart, Jim Penders of UConn. So if you want like a hard-hitting baseball sort of preview, just go to warchant.com and we'll have the wrap up of the interviews and all that kind of stuff. Thanks again, everybody, for the kind words on the Marco Dingus interview, by the way, which I wish we could go do it all over again. So many questions still in my mind that we should have asked and we did not. but it was awesome. Nonetheless, Dave from Kentucky's here, everybody. He's got the same question from last week. He really wants you to know about the curation he's done for reading material for his children as they get ready to go to Dublin, Ireland for the game, Corey. And there's recommendations for young children as young as 3, 8, I think even a little bit older than that, as well as maybe someone your contemporary, maybe your spouse. I don't want to give it all away, though. Corey just feels like there's so many good recommendations in here that we should keep it behind the paywall. So in great marketing, maybe like leave a tease out there so that people go over to warchant.com, subscribe, so they can look and read Dave's questions, all of its glory. I will say that he has recommended, or rather he has gone ahead and purchased for his son, the book Artemis Fowl. It's a series by a author with the last name of Colfer. I don't want to pronounce the first name incorrectly. It looks like it's Gaelic. Colfer apparently is an Irish school teacher, Corey, who describes these books as, quote, Die Hard with fairies.
Okay.
So
All right. That's
a recommendation. There's plenty more. Go to warchant.com's tribal council. Check out the Renegade Express thread to read all of Dave's glory as intended. That's a wrap for us. We'll be back with another show that we're going to record right now, probably. We are, actually. But just pretend that like we waited all night to formulate better answers and everything for you. It just works out better this way. It's a 50-minute show instead of like an hour 40. So, but it all works out the same way. I should stop rambling, Corey, right? He's Corey. I'm Aslan. Thanks for listening to this edition of Wake Up War Chant, presented by Vitamin Energy.